listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, good evening. It is 6 o'clock on the dot, according to my iPhone. We're ready to begin. This is going to be an evening of not primarily teaching. It's going to be an evening of teaching and experience. We're going to be praying together. We're going to be expecting God to do really, really great things. So this morning was fantastic. It was a great start. Thoroughly enjoyed having Pastor Perry come and share with us. And I told him tonight, we want to, in a very concrete way, go after the strongholds and pray that strongholds would be defeated. And I know for some of us, it's prayer for ourselves, and for some of us, it's really prayer for others, people who we are really deeply concerned about. I thought it was good, though, that Perry said this morning, he went down to the session thinking, okay, I'm learning about prayer for my congregation, and then God surprised him, and it's like, no, babe, you know, we're going to pray for you, you know. I think that that's what we all need to be ready for, is for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to uncover areas that where there's some tilling that is necessary. And that's what the Holy Spirit continually does. He wants to till the ground and reveal where healing is necessary. So let's pray that God does exactly that, that he opens up our hearts, that he speaks to each of us, that he uncovers things in the Spirit. We do believe in messages of the Spirit. We believe that impressions of the Spirit, just like Perry was talking about this morning, where there was the picture of him holding the rock. You know, that I love it when God speaks to us in pictures, because we don't forget those. Those are very vivid, because our brains think in picture form. So that's the kind of thing that we need to be open to and realize that that's how the Holy Spirit communicates with us. And so if you don't mind, well, even if you do mind, why don't you stand up? I'd like you to just stretch out your hands in like an open receiving position. So Holy Spirit, we come to you expectantly tonight, and we pray that you would do your tilling work. Let the plow go as deep as is necessary. Lord, we want so desperately to walk in the freedom of the children of God, the freedom that you alone give. And so we pray, O Lord, come in your glory, come in your great love, come in your mercy, and come with your power to reveal and to heal. And we just say, yes, Lord, do what you want to in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, everyone. What a sweet time of worship. It's a great presence of God in this place. And I love how gentle God is. Don't you? That our God is a gentle God. He's a gentle Father. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He's gentle with us. How he speaks and how he works. And that's why I'm so thankful. We never have to be afraid to bring anything before him, because we've been forgiven of our sins. We've been adopted as his children. And so we have a place at the throne of God, right? For us to come and to allow God to show us some things. So tonight, what do we want to do? You've got a couple sheets in your hands, right? There's a little handout. Thanks, Scott. That's okay. So we've got a little sheet here called the 4 R's. This is the ministry prayer model. This is where we're going to end tonight, and we're going to get there in just a little bit, but I'm going to do a little bit of kind of precursor, some theology before we get to that, and then we'll look at this one in just a moment, the one you saw on the screen today, but it was hard for everybody to see, including myself. We'll take a look at this one in just a moment. And before I just get started with the what I want to share with you tonight. I want to ask a couple questions just to gauge my audience here. How many of you have actually been through some type of freedom ministry in the past? Freedom kind of ministry. Don't be shy. Okay, this is really, okay, good stuff. Awesome stuff. Okay, but many of you raised your hand this morning when I said, if you know what a stronghold is. Like many hands went up in here, so I understand you understand some of those things. So this should be pretty simple for you guys to grasp. What I want to do tonight is I want to first just lay a little bit of groundwork just theologically, and this should be fun. So I'm going to state some very obvious truths. And I always find this is a good way to start, to just state some obvious things. And when I say these things, I'm going to move through them pretty quickly. This is not in your notes. You can put those down. We're going to come back to them in a second. When I walk through these truths, I just want you to give me a hearty amen. What that means is let it be so. We agree this is true, okay? And what that does is it kind of primes the brain, our synapses here, and it primes our heart to then be able to move on to the things we think the Holy Spirit wants to do. Does that sound good with you guys? We're with you. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So this morning I talked about strongholds, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, and I'll let you know, I'll cue you when it's time to say amen. First things first is I spoke this morning, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, about the weapons that we have to fight with. And these weapons are what I'm going to introduce you to tonight. The weapons of the power of prayer and truth and repentance and faith and how we get to those. But I just want to remind you of a couple things we said this morning, that we're in a war for our hearts and minds first. And that we're in a war against these strongholds that are built up in us, in our thinking. And primarily because of lies that are in our minds about God's truth, about us, or God, or people that are around us. That there's roots that our thinking is rooted in, and that if we want to destroy those patterns of thinking in our mind that are hindering us from experiencing God's love and truth, we have to take the truth of God's word and go to the roots of where they started, where they began, and hence that's the tree we're going to look at in a little bit. We got to go to the roots, right? You got to take the axe to the roots if you want to see change in the fruit and the behaviors. We don't start with behavior. We have to identify where they begin, what the lies came from, and then we have to use our weapons that I'm going to talk about tonight. So, how do we break free from strongholds? What a great question to ask. And I want to tell you the secret, the complete secret in the whole thing tonight, and how do you break free from strongholds is in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the secret. I call him the Holy Secret. Our church did a series on the Holy Spirit back last fall and taught all the way through it, and we used a book by a guy named John Bevere called The Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever read that or used that book, but if you want a primer, a great primer and study on the Holy Spirit, it's a great book to use. John Bevere is a great guy, a great teacher. Anyway, if you want to, you can check out on our website. If you want to go brush up on the Holy Spirit and hear some stuff on that, you can hear that. I'm sure you'll have some stuff here as well as you can pick up on and learn. But here's the foundational truths I want to walk you through real quick. We're going to walk through it, and we're going to say it, and we're going to hearty amen it. You got it? All right, here we go. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. He is a person with mind, will, and emotions. Amen. Okay, he's not an it. He's a person, yeah? Third person of the Trinity, equal with God and deity to the Father and the Son, yes. When we repent of our sin, we put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, we are given the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. Amen. All right, I'm in the right place. All right. Old Testament promise, Ezekiel promised, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he says he's going to give us a new heart, a new spirit within us, and he would remove our heart of stone and give us this new heart. And in Joel 2:28, the prophet said he will not only put him in you, but he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. On his sons and daughters will prophesy, will receive gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Amen. Yes. Many of us have received that. Jesus in his final hours with the disciples in the upper room discourse in John 13-17 promised not only the disciples but all future generations that he would send us the Holy Spirit to be that helper. And he said, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, meaning Holy Spirit comes, he dwells, he's there to stay with us. Can I get him? Is that true? Okay. Next truths. The Holy Spirit knows us intimately. I'm going to mention a few things. I want to pull these things into your mind before we go into the rest of stuff tonight. He knows our beginnings. In Psalm 139, 13 to 14, Scripture says, and King David wrote this, said, "You formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He knows our makeup, DNA, and all that we are. Yes? Okay. That's comforting. But he also knows our present coming and our present going, as it says in verses 1 to 4 of Psalm 139. Let me just read it to you. "Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows our coming and going presently." True? Okay. He sees me. Can we all say that? He sees me. He sees me. His eye's on me right now, all day. He's on me. He sees me. Okay. Last one and this one. The Holy Spirit, as we heard briefly in that, he knows our thoughts. And he's the only one that does. Let me quote 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 13. "Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him or her? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit who's from God, that we might understand the things freely given us. And we impart this understanding by the Spirit in spiritual, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual words." Yes? Okay? Who knows my thoughts? Who knows your thoughts? Holy Spirit does. The Spirit of God knows my thoughts so intimately. He's acquainted with my beginning. He's acquainted with my present. He knows it before a word's on my tongue. He knows my thoughts. And here's what's crazy, is he still loves me. Right? Oh my gosh, he still loves me? He said he's with me forever. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. Hebrews speaks of that. So we're all on the same page here, yeah? He sees me. He knows me. He knows my thoughts. And he put his Spirit in me so that I would understand the things that are of God, and I would know his thoughts. Further down in the Psalmist 139, it says this, that God has thoughts about us that outnumber the sands on the seashore. God's thoughts about you and me outnumber the sands on the seashore. So that tells me that God actually thinks about you and I. And he has thoughts to give us that we actually don't know until we dial into him and learn to hear his thoughts spoken. And I want to be honest with you. In my time here in Seattle in 9 years, I've learned how easy it is, and especially with technology these days and so many things that we have at our disposal and our fingertips, there's a lot of distractions in life. I know the older generation looks at this younger generation and you're going, "I don't know how you guys even think straight." Right? You're like, "How do you do this? We didn't deal with all these distractions." But I found that if we turn aside and try to make ourselves undistracted, we can develop a life that hears God's thoughts. And they're the most precious things in the world we could ever hear, because they're beautiful and he has beautiful things to speak to us. So the last thing I want to say, make sure on the same page, okay? He knows our thoughts, yes? Amen? Scary and comforting at the same time. Lastly, we know that the Holy Spirit speaks. And we got to anchor on this one. And I'm going to quote from you John 16, 13, 14, when Jesus told us, when he said, "I'm going to send you a comforter." Man, hear those words. "I'm going to send you a comforter. The Spirit is going to come and comfort us." And he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes," this is who he is, he says, "he," the person, "will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, we know he was speaking to the disciples, and we know that Scripture was going to be written later because the Holy Spirit was going to come and teach them and remind them of everything that was spoken, and they're going to write it down for Scripture in generations to come. But he says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so here's what we can trust. And this is something we taught in our congregation, and we had to really lay it down in foundational truths, and we had to do it over and over again because of how human we are and how tempted we are to doubt God's ability to speak to us. God's ability to talk, God's ability to make something plain. And sometimes we're like, well, I'm a little too dull. I'm too distracted. I've got so much going on. It's hard for me to focus sometimes. And we all have our own challenges with like trying to draw near and hear from God. But I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is powerful enough and able enough to overcome our distractions, overcome the whatever's going on in our brain or our heart to get something across. He's not limited is what I'm trying to say. You with me? He's not by our limitations. He's able, if I'm hungry and I'm open and I'm desiring of the Spirit to take something and make it known to me, I can rest that he will do that because that's who he is. And he's faithful to who he is regardless of what I am. Yes? Yeah. Oh, man, good news, right? So I can trust then if the Spirit is going to guide me into all the truth, he'll only speak what he hears. Then I can trust the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts that are inside of me today. So I can, and he has thousands, multiple millions of thoughts about me. I can ask him thoughts and to reveal things to me that I can't see or understand. So this is spiritual stuff, right? Woo! It's exciting. Okay. All right. Last thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to get into the practical stuff here, but I want to lay the groundwork is that we know that the Holy Spirit speaks with a still small voice. We're thankful for the Old Testament stories, aren't we? We're not just New Testament believers, we're Old Testament believers as well. We know the story of Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah? He was running from Jezebel. He was afraid of his life. He'd been on Mount Carmel and had a great victory over very wicked pagan people. And he gets to this cave, and he's in the moment where he's overwhelmed, he's depressed. Some even would say he was probably suicidal. Well, I guess he was, because he says, hey, I just want to die. Kill me, Lord. Life's too painful. It's too challenging. It's too hard. Just take me, you know? And he discovers in that cave something God's been probably trying to get across to Elijah for a while, and that's simply this, that his voice isn't found in the loudness, the brashness, the earthquake, the fire, or the storm. It's in a still small voice. And that still small voice is able to break through all of those things and speak truth to you and me, just like he was Elijah. Is that true? All right. Now here's the question. Do you believe the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in freedom? Do you believe the Holy Spirit knows what's blocking you spiritually right now? Okay. Do you believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal what strongholds or lies are blocking you from his love? Beautiful. Do you believe if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you, he'll show you? All right. Well, we're going to have a good time tonight then. I'm in the right place. You guys are amazing. All right, so let me introduce to you a simple prayer model that we use in our church. And what I'm going to do is walk through the model and just explain how we use it. This is very practical. This is absolutely dependent upon Scripture. You'll see this is, but what I don't have time to do tonight, and I want to be clear about this, because we usually take 3 days and then to teach and bring people up to speed into this stuff. And you're kind of getting it quick because you guys. Now that I know what you believe about the Holy Spirit, you're going to be fine. But I don't always end up with a crowd who knows all that. And so I have to build up to things and get people there, right? So I'm thankful I don't have to do that with you all tonight. You're ready to go. But what I want to lay out for you is normally we train prayer people for a couple months to be able to pray with others. And we did that from the very beginning, and then we come and do this prayer model together. So I want to go ahead and tell you at the very end of this, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, and to pray actually with another person in the room tonight. And what I'm gonna tell you up front so you can get over your butterflies. Just go ahead and do it now. Just get it out of the way. This prayer model, while I'm going to teach it, can be done alone. We have found it's much more effective if I share this kind of prayer model and help another believer how to pray through something that they may be struggling with and they're wanting God to speak and help them. And we become almost like a midwife helping bring to birth something God wants to do in someone's life. So I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight. I hope you'll say yes and amen. I'll go there. Let's do that. For those of you who say, I don't know, Pastor Perry, if I'm ready to go there, I want to do that. It's totally fine. You could pray through it yourself and do it, but I want to encourage you. Once I go through it, you'll see it, but I want to encourage you to lean in and actually turn, and you'll be able to pray with somebody, and I'll lead you through it. It's very simple, and you'll get to experience not only helping someone, but receiving help as well. So when we get there, I hope you'll go there with me, okay? All right, I didn't scare you away yet, did I? Nope? Okay, good. Because sometimes I do this and I can see people freaking out. Y'all don't look like you're freaking, so you're okay. Okay. But I'm used to seeing it. So let's walk it through. So we call this the four R's, totally taken from Scripture. And we're going to walk through this together. The world, the flesh, and the devil, if you look on your sheet, are bent on bringing deception and destruction to our lives, but we've been given spiritual weapons to demolish strongholds. And here are those weapons we've been given. We have the ability to place lies with truth. Spirit of truth wants to bring truth into areas where we're believing something that's not true, that's set up against the knowledge of God. Okay? Secondly, we want to replace sin with repentance. What I mean is where we've believed a lie about God, about myself, or about someone else, God invites me to repent of that. That word repentance, metanoia, Greek word, right? It literally means to change your mind. It's change of thinking, right? Repentance starts in the mind, not with behavior. It starts there with I'm gonna reject and get rid of a lie out of here, and I'm going to choose to believe the truth of God. And that's where Jesus said, if you hold to the truth, you're truly my disciples, and my truth will make you free. It's clinging to truth in the inmost part. Is what enables it to do it. So there's repentance that's involved. And then we replace unbelief with faith. I'm going to believe that truth. You with me? Truth, repentance, faith. And that's kind of what we're going to walk through when we walk through the four R's. So let me explain some areas where lies can come from. Lies can come from a couple different places. For example, let me look at the tree. Let's look at the tree real quick, and then we'll get down to this. Tonight, what we're going to do is, I'll have you can look over the tree, and you can say, man, what is some of the fruit on this tree that I'm really seeing alive in my life right now? Okay? And I know there's a lot on there. But we'll look and see that some of these things could be really alive and well and much stronger in our life than it should be. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to ask the Holy Spirit of from the very beginning, we're going to ask, well, where does this stuff I'm experiencing as fruit or leaves in my life, where is it coming from? Okay? So, and what we're going to do is we're going to ask Him, when we ask Him some questions of lies we're believing, we're going to ask Him, what lies are we believing about that area? And He's going to show you where the lie is, what it is and where it is. And then you can ask Him where it came from. It's a bold question, but we like to ask that question because you got to go back to go forward. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, in order to bring freedom, wants to show us, here's where that lie came in. Here's where that door was opened I talked about this morning. Here's where the car ride, the friend got in, and I need to let that friend out of my car. Not a great friend, okay? So now let me show you where some of these lies can come from. When we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to us, sometimes they can come from vows or decisions we've made. In other words, we've experienced some things, maybe negative things, bad things, which I would call injustices. And I make personal vows about things. I will never fill in the blank. I will always be an outsider. I'll never feel on the inside. But there's also can be word curses that have been spoken over us by someone else. Okay? You'll never amount to anything. There's words that curses that people could speak, and that, man, they're still in our head, in the background of the software of the mind running, and actually affecting our behaviors, our attitudes with how we deal with life. These are where these lies can come into. They can come from just temptation and deception. One of the lies we can be buying into, why am I experiencing some of the fruit on some of these trees? Could be because I'm believing a lie that, man, I'm in an open sinful rebellion in my life. It's an area in my life where I've got some rebellion, and it's there because I'm believing a lie about myself or about what I'm looking at. For example, I need this to be happy. Really, to be comforted, to be whole, I really need this. You need to understand. I can't do without that, A, B, C, what it fill in the blank. Okay? Anyway, those are just giving you some ideas of some sources where lies could be at work in our hearts and our minds. But lies only have power if I believe them. And what I need the Spirit to do is to reveal to me what lie am I believing so that I can repent of believing that lie and rebuke the enemy out of that area of my life and replace it with truth in my heart. Does that make sense so far? Okay? All right, I'm going to make sure I'm taking my time through here. So here's how this 4 R's works. You can go back to your page here. So once the lies and the sinful responses have been exposed and God's truth is revealed, then we're going to repent for believing those lies and for any sinful choices that are a result of those lies in my life. We can receive God's forgiveness. Then I can take that authority. I talked about this morning that that Jesus gives us authority, and we're the ones that rebuke the enemy out of that area of our life. He restores our authority to as a son and a daughter of God to rebuke those things. And lastly, we replace the lies with God's truth. So here's how this works. And I'm gonna get my notes here. I'm going to use one example here. Because I got a couple different ones I want to use or could use. Okay. One that I will use in... No, I'm not going to use that one. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. I'll use this one. This is fairly like recent where I could tell there was anger growing in my heart. So that was me on the tree. Like I'm seeing anger. I'm seeing these kind of things just come up. Oh, there we go, sir. Yes. Turn the volume up. I'll speak louder. I know sometimes I talk soft and I got that pastor voice. I go into that mode, you know, put you to sleep. I'll try to speak louder. Unless you can turn me up upstairs, that'd be great. And I'll speak louder. So throughout my experiences, one of the major things that keeps surfacing in my life, and I'm just going to be honest, is anger. And don't worry, I'm dialed it all in. Jesus has done amazing work in me. But my wife has watched this over the years. And even in recent years, I would notice these emotions would come alive and would be stirring up. It could be anxiety, it could be anger, any of these fruits on the tree, but that was one that would always go, and it was the lights on the dashboard for me to go, I think I'm believing some lies somewhere. Something's wrong inside. And in one moment, there was anger coming up, and what I learned to stop and do was pray these 4 R's, and so I would stop, and I got my wife to sit down with me. And I said, I need you to pray with me through these 4 hours. I need you to help me. And so I'd sit down with her, and she would lead me through this. And we do this in my home. We do it at night. We've done it at the dinner table. So when I get this real practical, we help each other. And she would sit down and ask me these questions. And she would say, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, to show us some things. And we would ask this, Holy Spirit, what is the issue that Perry's dealing with? What's the issue? And obviously, Sometimes you really know what the issue is, and sometimes you don't. And so it's always good to ask the Holy Spirit, what's the issue? Because sometimes what you think is the issue isn't the issue. And you think it's this, and you sit under the Holy Spirit and ask Him some questions. You'd be amazed. He'll give you thoughts. And this is how the Spirit speaks. The Spirit speaks in thoughts. He puts thoughts in your mind. That's how He works, because He's inside of you, so He's going to give you thoughts. You don't need Him to speak audibly. So He'll give you these thoughts. And so we sat down, and she goes, Perry, she goes, Holy Spirit, what is the issue you want me to do with this? And I knew, I'm just sitting there going, oh, man, I'm just, all I know is I'm just angry. And she says, all right, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, why is Perry angry? All right. And I sit and I'm listening and I know, I get honest with myself and I go, well, I'm angry because of a particular person. And I'm angry. And then she, okay, tell me more. Why are you angry? And then I just be honest. Well, I'm angry because of this, and I listed it out. This person's let me down. This person hasn't done what they said. This person, this person. And I'm just like super angry at this person. And then she says, well, I realize. She goes, well, let's ask the Holy Spirit, which is right here on the paper. We'll ask, well, what is the enemy telling you about this? What's the enemy lying to me about? What's the lie that's going on in my brain, in my head? And I know some of you may, I know some of us go, well, it's obvious. This guy is the real problem. That person, they're the problem, right? They're the enemy. They're the problem. And we just need to deal with that. Now, yes, do I need to deal with the person? Of course I do. But guess what? I can't go deal with the external problems until I deal with what's going on inside of me first. I first have to deal with me. And so what I didn't realize is I'm like, well, that's the problem's over here. Well, until we ask the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, what is the enemy telling me through this? And then I realize at that moment, the Holy Spirit begins giving me thoughts. What lies am I believing? And here's what He says. Thoughts, just come to me. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And here's what I hear. What lies am I believing? You're believing that because He didn't do what He was supposed to do, that I'm not able to do what I can do. That you're now in a bad situation. You can't, it's going to be harder. You can't get out. And this just rolls out. And the bottom line it revealed was, I was believing a lie that God was not enough to show up and help me, and to be there for me, and to give me wisdom and do everything. I was doubting and doubting and doubting God in this moment because of problem A. Are you with me?
Yes.
Right? And so as long as I'm believing that lie, I'm going to be directing my anger this way and going, well, I can't do, I can't have, I can't experience, I can't give because of this person. And that's a complete lie. That's a lie. So I ask, what is the lie? And He reveals the lie. And I go, oh, I'm really doubting You in this moment. I don't think You're enough. I don't think You're able to empower me or help me. And so that's the lie. And what we teach in Life of Freedom is when we do this, is as soon as you ask the Holy Spirit, here's what we trust and believe. And you've got to trust this. When you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you, you can count on He's the one that's going to do the talking, because you've addressed Him and He doesn't lie. And that's something you have to trust. You just have to trust like a simple child that goes to their father and says, Dad, hey, what about this? Dad says it, it's true, I'm going to believe it. Now, if it counteracts God's word and you're listening to, that can happen at times, but typically that only happens to a person who's deeply, how I want to put it, troubled is a soft way to put it. But that's typically not the case for those that have been Christians for very much of time and been walking with Him. The Holy Spirit gives truth and He speaks, and it's pretty simple, and it's amazing how quick it is. And we trust the Holy Spirit speaks. Yes? Okay. All right. We're moving right along, and we're going to go through this. So this is what I do. I ask the question. She says, hey, what are the lies? I hear the lies about God. And there were lies about me in this moment that was holding me in this kind of unforgiving moment with this person. And I then asked the simple question, says, well, what's the lie? I get the lie. And then I'm like, okay, I need to get rid of this. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask what the truth is. Holy Spirit, what's the truth? What is the truth? And my wife would lean over and she goes, Holy Spirit, will you please tell Perry what the truth is? And we sit, and she's got a little pen out, and I'm going to listen to the Spirit, and I'm going to say out loud what I hear. Just like I did with the lie, I say it out loud. Here's the lies I'm actually hearing, okay? And then I go, here's the actual truth. And the Spirit begins to speak, and then I speak the truth out loud. Okay? So I bow my head and pray, okay, what's the truth? And sometimes it's Scripture that's coming to your mind. Sometimes it's just straight up truth, whether it's somewhere from Scripture, but the Holy Spirit's going to bring the truth. And I would bow my head and I would hear, you know, truths like, well, didn't I say I'd never leave you nor forsake you? Yep. Yep. You're enough for me. Yep. I don't have to be afraid. Nope. And I just start talking it out loud. Yeah, the truth is, even though this person didn't do their part, it's not going to hinder us from getting done what God, what you want us to do in this season. Yep. And you see, the truth begins to come through. So I'm receiving the truth against the lies. And that's, once you're there, two simple questions. What's the lie? And I go, what's the truth? And then I can get after praying through the four R's. Are you with me? Okay. Now, let me say this. This is the simplest model we give. And when you get into injustices, which are the big stuff, okay? When you get into generational patterns and other things, we have this other simple pages of toolkits to help you pray through those specific kind of things. I didn't bring my full toolkit tonight because I thought it might be a bit much. but we train on this stuff. We teach on this stuff. So tonight I'm not dealing with all of these different roots. Are you with me? I'm only giving you the beginning, simplistic model of learning. God, this is the presenting issue I'm having. I'm asking you, God, where did this come from, and what are the lies I'm believing? What are the simple lies? Because if I can get the lies out, if I can get the lie out and get the truth into me, that breaks the power of that. Honestly, that demonic stuff being around in me and having influence over me, and I can begin to then think clearly, and my emotions can regulate, and I can begin to move in the right direction of things. You with me? Okay. All right. So let's walk it through the four R's, and then we're going to actually do some stuff together. Okay? So the four R's are simply this. Once you've asked the Holy Spirit, like, what is the truth? You show it. I encourage you to write it down. We encourage you, you know, speak it out loud, write it down. So that when you come back to actually praying through it, you've got something concrete you're looking at, and you don't have to remember what you said and came out of your mind. And we walk through it this way. And what we do is typically I've had my wife would pray me through it. And so she would lead me through it, and she'd say, all right, we're going to repent now. And you're going to give you an opportunity to repent for believing the lie, which is confession, right? So I would say, Father, I repent for believing the lie that you're not enough, that... I should have wrote it down. I forgot what my lies were. I repent for believing the lie that you're not enough for me, that you're not going to come through, that you don't have answers for me in this moment, that I'm alone, that I'm all by myself because of so-and-so, da-da-da-da. I repent for believing those lies because that's not true of who you are. And then we receive forgiveness. I think forgiveness is something you actually have to verbalize and receive. A lot of times we say, forgive me. You know, we'll say, man, I repent for this. And we'll say, forgive me. But we don't say, God, thank you for forgiving me. I receive your forgiveness. I'm an imposter as a child receiving that. And that's why I love the scriptures. 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins, right? He is faithful and he is just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, right? That's his promise. He'll purify. He'll cleanse. He says, if you confess, I'm receiving you, but I think it's good for us to take the posture of saying, I receive your forgiveness. I believe what that says. Thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me and washing me. Y'all got that? I receive your forgiveness, my sin. The next one is rebuking the enemy. And this is something younger believers struggle with. Older believers have been around, have no problem with. They actually enjoy doing it, which is like, get out of my car, buddy, right? It's that kind. Is where we go, no, I'm going to rebuke you. This is where you take your rightful place in your authority, because now that you're, if the devil's a legalist, once you've repented and received forgiveness, you actually now have, you've taken the ground back, and now you can rightfully command and demand that to move out of, to get out of your life. The thoughts to get out of my thinking. Take your rightful place in your authority through the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, and renounce any comfort or payoff you've received from believing that lie, or if there's been a resulting sin that it's led you into. Because I believe this, I've now gone and got into idolatry and things that are going to help me, right? So I repent of the lies, but then I can repent of the any behaviors that's coming out of it, receive forgiveness, but now I can rebuke the enemy out of this area of my life. And number four, lastly, is you want to replace the lies with the truth. And this is where this is all verbal. Let me be really clear with this. You do not do this in your head. Right. I meet too many Christians, it blows my mind, who pray in their head rather than out loud and verbal. And I like to use Jesus' example of him and how he handled spiritual warfare and the devil. And if you remember, when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days, and the enemy is lying to him, right? He's tempting him about his identity. Well, if you're really the Son of God, do this. If you're really the Son of God, do this. It was a complete attack on his identity and who he was. And how did Jesus deal with that lies being spoken to him? What did he do? He spoke. If the devil's talking, Jesus is talking back. Jesus spoke out loud. There's power in the authority of the spoken word. Power in the tongue. We know this. And there's power in that spoken word. There's power in that spoken prayer to speak out loud. That's how you take authority back. And the scriptures speak in Ephesians 6. We know that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, Jesus speaks the sword. If you want to swing a sword in the Spirit, you have to speak it. It's just sitting in its sheath down by your side if you're just never talking it. But that's the spiritual war. These are the weapons we're talking about, right? This is where you get to pick up the sword of truth. You've listened. You've got the truth. I know what God's word says. I know what he's speaking to me. Now I'm going to replace those lies with the truth. And you declare the truth out of your mouth that's consistent with the character and the nature of Jesus Christ and his word. Boom. Speak it. It's a lie that I'm alone. It's a lie that you're not going to come through for me. It's a lie that this is happening. And then here is the truth. I choose to stand on your truth that says this. And we know that repentance through all of this is the change of the mind. And this is where you begin to replace lies with truth. That's a simple model. I want to pause. I want to give you an opportunity to ask any questions. If I make sure I'm clear. And then I'm actually going to guide you and lead you through actually experiencing this. Okay? Questions, thoughts. Don't be afraid. Okay? Yes, ma'am. I wish she was. She's amazing. We have a discipleship school on Sunday nights, and she's over there. We both minister and pastor together. She's over covering me for there tonight, and I wish she could be here. So, why do you ask that question? You are awesome. Man, I wish she was here. Well, I got good news for you. I tell our church this all the time, is that I believe God's put precious saints around us who have the Spirit of God, have the gifts of God, and can hear with me and pray with me. And I believe, brother, is this your husband to your right? Okay, I don't want to say, hey, buddy, what's up? It could be your husband tonight. It could be another lady in here. If you know another lady or would like to pray with it, not to put you on the spot, but just to encourage you that the body is very rich with love and truth and grace. And this is what we've learned. Let me just say this. We have learned that the saints in our church are rich. And what I mean by that are rich in love and mercy and goodness and gentleness and kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. And man, the gifts are in them. And I have watched a body of Christ learn how to pray with other people, open up. It's kind of vulnerable, kind of scary. But to find that the person on the other side is just full of the love of Jesus and just wants to simply help people. Anyway, so, but that's very kind of you. I wish my wife was here to pray with you. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, go. This is my good friend David. David's been with me on this full journey. He's my prayer warrior. That's why he's always with me. He comes and prays behind me. But I'll let you share a couple thoughts, David.
Much to the thought of wondering whether or not a specific person might be here to pray with you. Perhaps your usual prayer partner isn't here tonight. I wanted to draw our attention to the reality that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, of whom we've been speaking about tonight, has ordained that each of you be here tonight for this purpose. Yeah. And he knew before the foundations of the world what he would teach on tonight, and he knew exactly who would be here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Which means your intended prayer partner for tonight is here. Okay? And I would encourage you, if it's not praying with your husband, if you'd rather pray with another lady, another gentleman, to look around the room and ask the Lord, who do you want me to pray with? Who needs me? No matter how badly you need something, look outward. Who needs me? Because as the Lord answers that question, he is simultaneously identifying the person you need. The Lord sent no one here to be unpaired, to be lonely, and to be apart.
Amen.
Been brought here tonight to engage in spiritual warfare with another image of God.
Amen. Strong. Just hold on to it. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Is I'm actually going to ask you to grab your sheets and pair up with somebody. And typically, I think it's good to go men with men and women with women, to tell you the truth, is what I would prefer, unless you want to pray with your spouse or something like that. I know this may seem really strange, but let's just go. Thank you. Just make the move. Yes, ma'am. Is there a question in the back? Did I miss it? Yes, Sandy. You already are. Oh. Oh, yeah, you can. I mean, you can say in the name of Jesus. I mean, actually, we rebuke in the name of Jesus when we rebuke something, for sure. You want to invoke the fact that you're under the blood of Jesus? Absolutely. But I'm saying that you already are under that, but you can proclaim that. Absolutely. Yeah. So, we're going to ask you to pair up with somebody. Are you next to somebody? Ready to go? Okay. I want to tell you guys, this is so gentle. This is so gentle and so easy. This is what I love. The Holy Spirit is not, he's so gentle, and he's gentle in the people around you. Go ahead, just get next to somebody. Go for it.
Move about as you need, if you need space.
Yeah. You can move somewhere else. All right. Now, one of you is going to start, meaning you're going to lead your friend in praying these four R's. So you need to decide who that's going to be. Who's going to be the leader in the prayer? This is good stuff. All right, have you established that? Who's going first? Who's going to be the recipient? Okay. All right, here's your questions. Now, hold on, don't get going yet. Here's your questions. I wish I'd have wrote them down on this piece of paper here. But the questions you start with, you're going to just say a simple prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and take over this moment and lead. Surrender to Jesus. And then you're going to say, Holy Spirit, what is the issue you want to deal with my brother or my sister? And then the one that's receiving, you're just going to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the first thing that comes to your mind that you know is the presenting issue, you're going to say it out of your mouth. Okay? This is the courageous part. You're going to say it out loud. It doesn't take long. Literally 30 seconds, the Holy Spirit's going to show you. You probably already know. You're going to say, this is my presenting issue. Then the one who's leading is going to say, okay, let's ask the Holy Spirit, what lies are at work? What is the enemy telling you and lying to you about right now? You're going to listen for about a few seconds, 30 seconds. And then what comes to your mind of those lies, you're going to just start saying them out loud. Okay? Speaking out loud. Once they're out on the table, then you're going to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is the truth that counteracts these lies? Going to listen, and then you're going to start speaking what the real truth is. Because the Holy Spirit's going to give you truth because He's promised us what He does is who He is. You with me? Okay? Speaking truth back, and once that's on the table and you got that, then you're simply going to lead them through the 4 hours. Let's repent of believing those lies. Let's receive forgiveness for it. Let's rebuke the enemy, take back that authority, and then you're going to confess those truths over you, that this is what's true of me, and this is what I receive in Jesus' name. Got it? All right. Guys, I'm going to hand it over to you. Go minister to one another. Once you've done one, you can then turn it around, and the other person do it for the other person, and we'll come back in the next 25 minutes or so, and we'll see how you're doing. How are we doing? Yeah, what I'd love to, I know we're at the end of our time tonight, but I wanted just to get a bead on things first before we close, is how was this in general? How did it feel? How was this for you to pray? Y'all were amazing. I was watching you just praying through with each other. Was this good? Yeah? Okay. Good. Does the model work? Yes? It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, let's take just 2 minutes. I'd love to hear just some of your feedback. How was it experiencing it for you? So you just said, say that out loud one more time. That was really good.
Yeah, it made me feel a little bad first, but it made me feel really good at the end.
Excellent. Someone else. This brother said it was quick.
It was.
Are you kidding me? Did y'all hear that?
That I spoke in tongues for the first time tonight?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That the Holy Spirit did that to you guys.
He reached out and, like, what's happened twice in the last 2 months, it's like a shower. He just completely wraps around you, and you feel like you're lost in His presence. And I finally felt whole and loved.
Amen.
For, like, maybe the first time ever.
Amen. Man, that's beautiful fruit, man. Thank you. That's amazing. Somebody else want to testify just to tell us what the experience was like?
I started to go to City Central for about 9 months before I moved here. I was going to Life Center. A friend helped me get on my feet, but I felt I needed to leave and go there, and I didn't know why. And the pastor got me connected with a group out in the South End that they brought to their church, and it really helped me. But then I said, the Lord's calling me to Seattle. And I didn't know where to go. I thought I was going to go to Westgate, but He called me here. Now I know why. Because you teach this.
Yeah.
And I think all Christians need this. And I know they teach it at Cedar Park, but I don't live too far from here. And I feel that Pastor Steve is taking care of his flock before he's not going to retire before he goes. Mm. And it makes me feel really good because I have severe depression, and I had This is a miracle. I was in bad shape 2 years ago. Pastor Lorraine Fontaine and Pastor Lorraine prayed for me, and they told me to go to the leader of my Bible study, and his brother was a doctor, and his other brother was a twin. They both were twins, and they were got me on my feet.
Amen.
But the Lord called me up here.
Amen.
To come here to this church for a while. I don't know how long. And
amen.
I pray that Pastor Stable and the search committee will find a pastor. Even if the one that's on staff already will do warfare like this, because every Christian needs this. You
Amen.
Know, I've been a Christian in a long time.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else want to just share how it was for you tonight, the model, encourage somebody else? Let's go. All right, she raised her hand first. I'm coming back. Okay, here we go. Yeah, how was that for you?
Just one word, enlightening.
Enlightening. Beautiful.
There's a word that came to me that I had no clue was there.
Yeah. So the Spirit was speaking to you.
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think sometimes when we ask the Holy Spirit stuff, we think it's going to be some deep down thing that's just going to cry and hurt coming out. And really, when we started, it was a thing that was on the top of my mind, and it's been on the top of my mind. But when I prayed over it, rebuked it, and asked for forgiveness, then I did tear up, and I confess for not believing that the Lord's taking care of me.
Yep. Powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Good stuff. Sister, back here.
Hi. Holy Spirit, come in my heart, be filled. So I'm my body, so heart and...
Yes, Jesus.
So in my peace, yes. So happy.
Amen.
Be filled, okay?
Amen.
I got the Holy Spirit 50 years ago. Maybe 53 years ago, mm-hmm. Then deep field too much. It's tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm so happy. Then I just cry. So
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's the love of the Father for you. That's precious.
Wow. Well, my prayer partner was Lauren over here. We dealt with two issues. I'm not going to get into them. One had to do with fear about the way the things in the United States are going.
And, yeah.
Okay, the other one was never feeling good enough. But here's the thing the Lord put us together in. I'm having a second hip surgery on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This lady is working in Swedish hospital in surgery. She, not in the same building, but she is going to try to come over and see me on Tuesday.
How about a divine connection? You never know who you were praying with, right? That's amazing. Good stuff. Well, Steve, I'm going to hand it over to you. I want to guard our time. I want to say thank you for going there with me tonight, for trusting me, letting me lead you into a model that we've learned and over the years. And I'm seeing the fruit of it tonight. It just encourages my soul to just show that the basic biblical principles I gave you tonight, all I did was give you a little rubric to walk through biblical truth. And empower and to trust the Holy Spirit is here and He speaks. And you saw Him speak to you so simply. It can be quick. It doesn't have to take long. Yeah. We just engage Him. And that's what you did, and I'm so proud of you guys tonight. And I just want to encourage you that as you leave here tonight, it can become a lifestyle for you. It's not meant to be a one-off that you just did here on a Wednesday night and, you know, 6 months down the road. Remember that night we did that? God, the Holy Spirit touched me, and it's been a long time. I want to let you know you can take this little sheet. You can pray in your home with your spouse or those. You can pray with your friends in your small group. At any time, you can say, hey, I think there's some stuff going on here. Would you pray with me? Pray with me through these 4 hours. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, what's the presenting issue? Oh, my goodness, what's going on in me? Okay, what's the lie? You can pray with it, and you can kick Him out and stay walking, as we say, walking in freedom. And walking in that victory. And you can maintain a lifestyle like that. That's how we're meant to walk. And I hope you'll take it and use it for the rest of your life. Love you. Thank you for having me tonight. God bless you.
Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for taking it so seriously and praying with one another in the way that you did, entering in. That was great. So, Father, we pray that You would just keep working with us. And just like Perry said, this cannot be a one-off. It's got to be something that puts its roots down. The practices become more normative for us. And so help us to remind one another. Help us to continue to encourage one another. Mm-hmm. And all the more as we see the day approaching. And Lord, let us walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So, Lord, we are excited about how You're working with us, and please keep it up, we pray.